Throughout history, there have been many famous friends, from Woody and Buzz to Lucy Arnaz and Ethel Mertz. There are famous friends. I'm sure you can all think of these friends that we can think of throughout our history. However, Tanakh is not a great resource if we're trying to think of famous friendships. However, in this week's Parsha, Parsha Vayeshev, we have the very first friends in Tanakh. And we learn about this friendship in a very strange story. We have in the source sheet is in the chat. We have in Bereishis Lamed Chet. Vayehi ba'et hahi vayered Yehuda me'et achav vayit ad ish adulami ushmo chira. So first, what story are we talking about? We have the infamous story of Yehuda and Tamar, that Hashem wrote the Torah with so much intention that Hashem made it that if teachers want to skip right over this story, they have no problem doing so. The parak before ends with Yosef being sold into Potiphar's house, and the parak following this story starts right back up again, and Yosef was in the house of Potiphar. This story can be completely skipped. This is the story of following Mechirat Yosef, the sale of Yosef. Yehuda leaves from his brothers. We are not sure exactly the reason, but one can assume it is because of something that happened at Mechirat Yosef. Whether it was that Yehuda was just so turned off from all of his brothers by the fact that they sold their brother, whether Yehuda felt responsible for what had happened, he felt guilty because of it. Whatever the reason was, following the sale of Yosef down to Egypt, Yehuda leaves his brothers. And again, in this pasuk, it says, "Vayired Yehuda me'et achav." Yehuda went down from his brothers. And I will say from the outset, there is so much that we could unpack from this story. The story of Yehuda and Tamar, and this entire parsha, Parsha Vayeshev, has so much in it. From Yaakov's favoritism of Yosef, to the sibling rivalry between all the Shvatim and Yosef, to Yehuda's interactions with Tamar, Isha Potiphar, Potiphar and Yosef. It is a jam-packed parsha. But what I want to focus on is this little character that is introduced to us. It is, as I would say, a random character in a random story, put in a very random place. So again, let's go back to our pasuk now that we have a little of the context. Vayehi ba'et hahi vayered Yehuda me'et achav. Yehuda went down from his brothers. Vayat ad ish adulami ushmo chira. Now, when I was reading over this pasuk in preparation for this shiur, it's one of those things that stands out to you that you say, was that really always there in Tanakh? Like, everyone focuses so much on the beginning of that pasuk, on the vayered Yehuda, that who even thinks about what comes at the end of the pasuk? But we are introduced to the Torah's first friend, Chira ha'adulamit, the Chira re'ehu ha'adulamit. Chira, his friend, the adulami. Let's continue on. Vayirbu hayamim v'tama bat shua ishet Yehuda v'yenachim Yehuda v'ya'al al gozzei tuno hu v'chira re'ehu ha'adulami timnata. So Yehuda, after he first arrives at his friend Chira, he marries a woman, Bat Shua. We don't know her name. We just know that she is the daughter of Shua. And they rapidly have three children. They have Er, Onan, and Shelah. And then it says that Bat Shua passed away. And at this point, Yehuda returns to his friend Chira. Says he goes back to the Gozzei Hatzon, to the sheep shearing festival, and there he returns to Chira. Lastly, we know that the last mention of Chira within the story comes at the very end, that we know that Yehuda chooses a wife for his son Er. He chooses this wife Tamar. Tamar is married to Er, and it says that Hashem does not like the actions of Er, and Er dies. Then, in order to be Mekayim Yibam, to allow for the continuation of Er's family, even though he has died, Yehuda has Tamar marry Onan with the intention that they should have a child to continue Er's name. However, Onan does not want to continue his brother's family. Therefore, he refuses to consummate the marriage. He too dies. And then Yehuda becomes suspicious of Tamar. Yehuda says, there must be something wrong with this woman. She has been married to two of my sons, and two of them have died. He is extremely hesitant to give over Tamar to Shelah, his third son. And therefore, he uses the excuse, and he says, you know what, Tamar, Shelah is still young. How about you go back to your father's house, you wait there, and when Shelah's old enough, I'll call you back. However, Tamar is now attached to the family in that she has this requirement of Yibam. She has to have a child from both of her husbands at this point. And so she is bound to the family until Shelah grows older. So she returns home and she waits there in her mourning clothes, waiting for Yehuda to call her back. But as Tamar realizes that Yehuda has no intention of calling her back to marry Shelah, she takes actions into her own hands, and she recognizes that if she is not going to be able to marry Shelah, she is going to try for Yehuda himself. So she gets word of the fact that Yehuda is traveling on the road, and she heads out. She dresses up as a prostitute, and she disguises herself on the road. She meets Yehuda, and Yehuda is with her. And she asks how she will be compensated, and Yehuda gives over he gives over his staff, and he gives over a sheep, I believe, an animal. And he says, keep these, and his family seal. He gives over his seal, and he says, keep these, and I will retrieve them from you. These will just be like the collateral until I'm able to pay you. So Yehuda continues on his way, and he finally returns, and he gets to Chira. And it says, finally, Vayishlach Yehuda gedi ha'izim biyad re'ehu ha'adulami lakachat ha'arivon miyad ha'isha v'lo mitza'ah. So sorry, I stand corrected. Yehuda sent a gedi izim. He sent a sheep with chira to Tamar and says, give me back what I have given you. Give me back the collateral that I gave over to you. Take this sheep instead, and I will take back my family seal. And Chira heads out to do this deed for his friend, and he finds that there is no woman on the road. Vaishalat anshei mekomali mor. Aye ha-kadisha, hu be'inayim al-hadarach vayomer lo hayta bazek kadisha. Chira asks around, he says, where's that kadisha? Kadisha is a sort of sarcastic language used for a prostitute, that she is called a kadisha, which is technically holy, and that is an entire other story. But he searches out this Kadisha. He looks for this woman, and the people on the road say, there's no prostitutes that hang out here. There's no woman here. Vayishav al Yehuda vayomer lo mitzatiha v'gam anshei ha'makom amru lo hayta bazek Kadisha. Chira comes back to Yehuda with the troubling news, and he says, I'm so sorry, but I was unable to find this prostitute. I couldn't find any woman on the road, and the people around there said that nobody usually stays there. Vayomer Yehuda tikachla pen yelavuz hinei shalachti hagdi hazeh v'ata lo mitzatiha. Yehuda recognizes that there is going to be a problem. He says, what she has is identifying of me. She can clearly embarrass me with what I have given her. I needed to replace what I gave her with the sheep so that I would not be embarrassed. And then we know that the story continues, that it is discovered that Tamar has become pregnant. They suspect her of infidelity, that she is meant to be attached to this family, and she has clearly gone outside of the family and become pregnant. And Tamar accepts for herself, and she says, I am not going to incriminate Yehuda if he wants to take the responsibility. And she says to Yehuda, whoever these goods belong to, this is who has impregnated me. And as she is about to be burnt for her infidelity, Yehuda takes ownership. He says, Sadkami meni, it is I who is with Tamar. And he takes her into his home. And she gives birth to Peretz and Zerach, twins, which interestingly now makes up for the two husbands she had to do Yibam for, that for Er and for Onan, she now has twins, because it says that Yehuda was never with her again. So she had to kind of have those two children in one try. And then the story ends and we don't hear about them anymore. And what we do know, though, is that Peretz and Zerach, Peretz is the beginning of the line of Mashiach. So we put that in the side of our brains. But for now, the Torah returns to the story of Yosef and Potiphar's home. So again, it is a random story that could be so easily extracted from the text and we would have no problem. Nothing would be missing. However, inside of this story, we have an even more random character. We have this guy, Chira, who seems to show up at every turning point in the story. He is there at first when Yehuda first leaves his brothers. He goes to this guy, Chira, and becomes his friend. We then see when Yehuda loses his wife, he right away returns to Chira. And when Yehuda has committed this sin, he has slept with this prostitute, and now he is very worried about what will happen. He turns again to his friend Chira. His friend Chira is there. He has his back. He's there to do whatever he needs. He is there at every troubling point. So who is this guy Chira? Rashi says, "Ad ish adulami nishtatefimo." Rashi says that it is a business partnership, that Yehuda leaves his brother. Now he wants to set up camp. He wants to do something with his life. So he decides to find a business partner, and this business partner is Chira. Now, this explanation of Rashi makes sense to explain the first pasuk as to who Chira was. But this does not quite seem like a colleague relationship that one would turn to in some of their hardest times. You wouldn't turn to your colleague necessarily immediately when your wife passes away. And even if you would, even if you are quite close with your colleague, it is definitely not within a business partnership to commit an indiscretion and turn around and tell it to your colleague and have your colleague attempt to clean up the mess for you. This definitely seems deeper than a colleague relationship. So what is this relationship between Yehuda and Chira? Rabbi Simcha Banim Mipeshischa, otherwise known as the Rebbe Rabbanim, he lived in 18th century Poland. He gives us a beautiful piece on friendship based on this friendship of Yehuda and Chira. He says, if you're in the source of by Rav Simcha Banim, it is at the end of the first line, Kol Adam Tzarich Lihiyot Lo Chaver Ve'ohev Ne'eman. Every person must find for themselves a dear close friend. Shehiyeh B'Yicholato L'Saper Lo Et Kol Nekudat Libo. That he will be able to tell over to him all of the deep, dark secrets in his heart. Kimo Shehaya LeYehuda. He says, this is what Yehuda had. Chira Re'ehu. It says Yehuda did not find a business partner. Rather, Yehuda, at a very vulnerable place in his life, right when he has left his family, he needs someone to fill in that void, and he finds for himself a true friend. And that true friend is Chira. The Haya Mishalech al Yado Ekedi Ha'izim Liyadei Tamar. He is even willing to try to send this Gedi Izim, this sheep, over to Tamar through Chira. Katav et Divrei Hara b'Shinoy Me'at Shamar Shema'angi Me'inyan Yehuda v'Tamar Ve'ech Sheshalach et Gedi Ha'izim al Yadei Chira Re'ehu Yesh Lamad Lomor Hu Yedid Ne'eman. He said we should learn from here what a real true friend are. What is the qualities of a true friend? Ki Yehuda Siperlo et Ha'avira Hagdola Sha'asa. Yehuda is willing to tell over to Chira the great sin he had committed. V'gam acharei shesiperlo nishar Chira liYehuda yedid ne'eman. That Yehuda is willing to tell over to Chira his greatest indiscretion, and Chira in turn remains with him. And the Rebbe Rabbanim says, on a basic level, what can we learn from the fact that this random guy Chira is included in the story? It says, until now, Tanakh has taught us about different marital relationships, different parent-child relationships. We've seen some father-in-laws, we've seen some brother-in-laws, we've seen sisters, we've seen brothers, but we haven't learned about friends yet. And the Rebbe Rabbanim is telling us that the point of bringing Chira into this story is to teach us what is a true friend. That it references later in Pirkei Avot, we know that we have instructions that every person should kanei lecha chaver. Every person should find for themselves a friend. The Torah believes in friendship, and we learn the true qualities of a friend through Chira. Just as we have examples of other relationships, we need an example of a friend as well. So that is beautiful. I could definitely build up this sheer about friendship, and we should have this beautiful fluffy sheer all about how what a great friend Chira was. But it goes much deeper than this. The Midrash in Bereishis Rabbah tries to give us greater insight into, great, we understand that Chira was a good friend, but who is he? We still don't know anything about him. We know at this point that he is Chira, we know his name, Re'ehu, he is the friend of Yehuda, Ha'adulami. Interesting to note that he is from Adulam. This is an area that later becomes part of Shevet Yehuda. It becomes part of the Nachlat Yehuda, the territory of Yehuda. And it becomes known as a place for refugees. It is a place that one hides, including the cave of Adulam, which is where David hides at a later point from Shaul HaMelech. So interesting to note that from the beginning of time, this is Chira HaAdulami. He is Chira from Adulam, which is where people go to hide, which would make sense why Yehuda specifically went to Adulam. If this is Yehuda leaving from his brothers, he is going far away. He is not quite a refugee, but it is a safe space. It is a hideout. It would give us an introduction to this place as that sort of location from the fact that Yehuda went there. But other than that, we don't know anything yet about Chira himself, what his personality was, where does he come from, besides for his physical location. What do we learn about Chira? And the Midrash and Bereishis Rabbah gives us greater insight into this. It says, Vayat ad ish adulami ushmo Chira. Rabbanan amre, Chira hu Chiram, shahaya b'yamei David. Who is this Chira? Chira is Chiram. Hiram, who comes up in the days of David, as it says, Ki ohev haya Chiram leDavid kol hayamim. That Chiram was an ohev, he was beloved to David all of his days. Lamur haya ha'ish hazeh lihiyot ohev lashevet zeh. It says Chira is still pretty much an anonymous character, but what we know about Chira is that he continues on with a slight name change to be Chiram, who we later learn is a friend of David, and we later learn is a friend of Shlomo. Chira, or Chiram, is the eternal friend of the Shevet of Yehuda. He is not just a singular example of what it means to be a good friend, rather, he is the prototype of friendship, and he continues on as a friend to Shevet Yehuda throughout all of the generations. Now, one can pause and ask, what does that mean? Chira would have been a million years old, not quite a million, math is not my strong suit, but he would not have been a million, but he would have been quite old. And the Midrash asks this question himself. Rabbi Yehuda ben Simon Omer, Chiram Acher Haya, he said it must have been another Chiram. Al da'atehon de Rabbanan, Chaye Karuv le'elef umatayim shana. He says, according to this opinion of the Rabbanan, Chira or Chiram would have been 1,200 years old. The Alda'ate de Rabbi Yehuda, but we say, if we even go according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Simon, Chaya Karov l'chamesh me'ot shana, he would have still lived close to 500 years. So it says you can ask this question, but no matter who we interpret Chira to be, he lived quite a long life. And this will help us later on to connect him to later points in our history. But what I want to point out is the fact that the Midrash says, Chira hu Chiram, we can understand literally. We can understand to literally mean that this mysterious character of Chira lived for thousands of years. It could be. But also, there is, even if we are not going to necessarily understand it, that how could it be that this person lived for thousands of years? We are going to understand them as being one in the same person because the Midrash connects it. It is a principle called the principle of conservation of personalities, that often the Midrash will, as it says, conserve personalities. They will connect one person to being another person in order to connect different attributes about them. We see this with the Mialdot in Mitzrayim, that they have a desire to connect the Mialdot of Shifra and Puah to Yocheved and Miriam because of character traits that unite them. There is this idea, or Og Melech HaBashan, that is brought up many points throughout the Midrash, having been there from the Mabul, from the time of the flood, all the way until Bnei Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael, when Og is killed out by Moshe Rabbeinu. There is this idea of conservation of personalities, that even if we are not delving into the technicalities of how could one person have survived from the time of the Mabul until the end of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, we are looking at it as the Midrash wants us to imagine them as one person in order to bring out aspects of their personality. So for the sake of our shir and for our understanding, the Midrash connects this as being one in the same person. That first we meet Chira, we meet him in the story of Yehuda, that is the beginning of his life, and we will see where his life continues. So it references this pasuk in Melachim Aleph that says, Ki ohiv hayachiram ledavid kol hayamim. So if we look down at this story, what is this story talking about? Where does this pasuk come up? Vayishlach Chiram melech Tzor. Chiram goes on and becomes the king of Tzor. Et avadav el Shlomo, ki shama ki oto mashchul lemelech tachat avihu. Chira Melech Tzor gets word that Shlomo has been appointed under his father. Ki ohev haya Chiram leDavid kol hayamim. Chiram was an old dear friend of David. We can flash back to when David was building his palace. It says that Chiram Melech Tzor sent him cedar wood in order to build his palace. Chiram and David were friends from way back. We can even say that possibly they met each other in Adulam. When David was hiding out in Adulam, it's possible that is where he met Chiram Ha'adulami. But that is just our guessing. What we know for sure is that Chiram Melech Tzor sent cedar wood to David when he was building his own palace. And now that Chiram hears that Shlomo has been appointed in place of his father, he sends messengers to him. Vayishlach Shlomo el Chiram lemor. And Shlomo returns his message and says, Ata yadata David avi. Ki lo yachol livno bayit laHashem Elokai mipnei hamelchama asher sivavuhu atit Hashem oto tachat kapot raglav. Shlomo HaMelech sends communication to Chiram, and he says, I know you are a friend of my father. And he says, and I know that you know that my father wanted to build a palace. However, he was unable to because of the wars that surrounded him. For anyone who learned Tanakh B'Shana with us last year, and we study the idea of why David HaMelech was not able to build a Beis HaMikdash, this is a very important source, because it does not say in the story itself of David HaMelech, we do not learn later on until Divrei Hayamim, any sort of reason for why David did not build a Beis HaMikdash. But Shlomo confidently says here that David did not build the Mikdash because of the milchamot that surrounded him, because of the wars that were always following him. So that is a very interesting point to note, that that is a possible reason why so many people believe that David did not build the Beis HaMikdash because of blood that he spilled. So that is, again, that is a side note as to why David didn't build the Mikdash. But Shlomo says to Chiram, my father was not able to build the Mikdash that he had always wanted to build. V'ata tziva v'echritu li arazim min ha'levanon v'avdi yihiyu li la'avadecha uschar avadecha itin lecha kecho asher tumar ki ata yadata ki im banu ish yudea l'charit itim katzidonim. Shlomo says, I have a request. You would have loved to help my father. You sent him cedar wood for his own palace. Please, we know that nobody cuts cedars like those Sidonim. Please send me some cedar wood. I will send servants to help with the cutting, but please send me back cedar wood in order to be able to build this Mikdash. Chiram was so happy to hear from Shlomo. He was so flattered. Look at me. No one cuts cedar wood like my men. Vayomer Baruch Hashem Hayom Asher Natan LeDavid Ben Chacham Al Ha'am Harav Hazeh. He says, wow, blessed is David HaMelech, blessed is Hashem, who gave David HaMelech such an heir, who is so smart, who will be able to build this Mikdash. Vayishlach Chiram El Shlomo Lemor, Shamati Et Asher Shalachta Elai, Ani Eseh Kol Chavatecha Be'etzei Arazim U'Be'etzei Brushim. He says, I'm going to send you all the cedar wood you need. V'Hashem natan chachmo l'Shlomo kasher diber lo v'hi shalom bin Chiram u'bin Shlomo v'echritu brit shneihem. And the friendship continues. It says that Shlomo and Chiram became friends, and they had a treaty between them for all of the days. There is an interesting midrash that notes that the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash were meant to symbolize this treaty between Shlomo and Hiram. That in the building of the Mikdash was this beautiful peace treaty. That what went into it was such a way of peace and harmony between nations, that that is what was symbolized in the Kruvim. But this is a very big deal. To say that this little guy Hira, started out as Hira, who was a friend of Yehuda. He grows older and older and older, becomes a friend of David HaMelech, becomes a king, supports David, then he supports Shlomo, and he is Zocha to be able to provide the building materials for the Beis HaMikdash. This guy has some pretty important roles for somebody who we still know so little about. What about him made him Zocha to be able to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash? And Ha'emek Davar gives a beautiful explanation. This is the Nitziv. As to why do we hear about Hira? And he connects it back to our original story of Yehuda. Why does he come up then? Why do we hear about him now? What is so great and so important about this guy? Vayat ad isha duami ushmo Hira. It is commenting on our original pasuk back in the story of Yehuda. Kol inyan Hira shapirish lo noda leizo inyan niskar ki gam shlichut hagedila tamar malanu ladat mi hu hashaliach elaba lelamdo. He says, we are coming to learn a very important message, not just from the fact that Yehuda originally went and created this friendship from Hira, but the fact that it continues, even through the worst part of the stories, that Hira is the one who brings the Gedi. It is coming to teach us a lesson. Dikishim shebe'it shehitnotzit lidat Mashiach, haya al yedei sarsiraot adam gadol v'nechbad, Ad she Yehuda hitro'a imo kach yihyeh. It says from the beginning, the first spark of Mashiach, from the first conception during the time of Yehuda, we see something very important about the road to Mashiach. That it says the message that we learn from Hira is that the beginning of Mashiach couldn't start until there was peace between two people. Until we are able to see a true example of camaraderie between two completely separate and seemingly unrelated people, we could not begin our path towards Mashiach. V'lacha rezek b'binyan beis David HaMelech hazdekei Hira melech tzor. And we see it continue along this road to Mashiach, that at the very beginning of the establishment of the house of David, hiztakeik imo Hiram, Hiram was there to help him along the way. He supported David. Ubiyamei HaMashiach k'tiv v'hayu melachim amanecha. It says that we know that something that will bring us to the time of Mashiach will be when we get along with the people around us. Why was it so important to learn about a friend? Because until now we have seen people who are naturally connected. That there is a reason for them to relate to one another. When you are born into a family, when you are arranged into a marriage, these are relationships that you have to work on, that you need to make peaceful, that you need to create these close bonds, these meaningful relationships. However, the message that Hashem is telling us through the beginning of the conception of Mashiach through this entity of friendship is that in order to bring Mashiach, we are going to need to form these external relationships. That it's going to be about the relationships that we choose to form, that we choose to work on. That Mashiach will come when we get along with the nations outside of ourselves. It's not just the people who we are thrown in, we are automatically connected to that we need to make sure we get along with. It's with everybody. We aim for world peace, not just peace within our small home. And this is the message of Hira, that Yehuda immediately had to establish this friendship. And this friendship carries on through the days of David, through the building of the Mikdash, and eventually it will carry us through to Mashiach. And I think this is a beautiful message that we can definitely internalize, that we must focus not only in our homes, and we know that the beginning of strong foundations and strong relationships is within the home. However, that we must look outside of the home, and we must act as these Yedid Ne'eman, as these true friends with everyone. Not that you have to be every person's best friend, but you must aim for peace, harmony, support, with everyone around you. And I think this is a truly beautiful message. However, the sources take a turn for the worse. And I could say that when I was preparing this year, I was more disturbed than I ever am when I am preparing a year, because the sources were just not adding up. This idea is so beautiful. This idea of friendship, the Torah giving us this example of what a true Yadid Ne'eman is, someone who's there through the good times, through the bad. However, when the Midrashic line continues this connection of Chira to Chiram, it takes a turn for the worst. If you look in the Gemara and Bava Basra, it says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chira Melech Tzor, Becha Nistakhalti Ubarati Nikavim Nikavim Ba'adam. It says in the Gemara and Bava Basra that Hashem turned to Chira Melech Tzor and said, it is because of you that human beings are going to be reliant on their digestive system. So the Jewish track record of IBS, of bad digestive tracts, can be attributed to Chiram. That we say, Hashem says, Jews are going to be reliant on their digestive systems. Or some people say, Ika de amre, hachika amar, becha nistakalti v'kanasti mita al adam harishon. This one is even more troubling, that Hashem looked at Chiram and said, it is because of you that I know I will have to bring death to the world. That it is because of Chira Melech Tzor that the punishment of death was given to Adam HaRishon. That Hashem knew he was eventually going to create this character of Chiram. And he knew that because of some aspect of Chiram's personality, he knew that human beings were going to have to die. Now this is beginning to get troubling, and I wish it could say it stopped here and I could provide like some small explanation, but it gets worse and worse. In Bereishis Rabbah, in the Midrash, it says, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina Amar, Ra'oi haya Adam HaRishon shelo litom ta'amita. Human beings were originally created without ever needing to taste the taste of death. V'lama niknesa bo mita, why were we given the punishment of death? Ela tzafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenivucha netzar v'chira melech tzor atidin la'asot atzman elokot. Lefichach niknesa bo mita. It says that Hashem looked into the future and he saw that eventually Nebuchadnezzar and Chira Melech Tzor would make themselves into godly figures. And in order to prevent a person from making themselves into a god, God gave us this taste of death. And again in Shmos Rabbah, it says, Paro haya echad me'arba b'nei adam she'asu atzman elokut ve'heira'u l'nafsham. It says that Paro, in Shmos Rabbah, when interestingly it's commenting on the fact that Paro was in the Nile early in the morning, and what does it explain that Paro was doing there? It was saying that Paro is using the facilities, because in order to hide his humanity from the people around him, he wanted to establish himself as a god. He made it seem like he never used the bathroom, which is interesting to connect to the fact that Hashem says, because of Chiram, we are reliant on our digestive tracts. That there seems to be some sort of connection that when people feel like they do not have normal human bodily functions, they are godlike. So just interesting, this connection between the digestive tract, Chiram, Paro. But it says Shmos Rabbah says there are four people like this. There are four people in our history that tried to make themselves godlike, and it was bad. V'heira'u l'nafsham. It was bad for their nefesh. V'iluhin. Chiram, the Nebuchadnezzar, the Paro, the Yoash Melech Yehuda. Now, at this point, we see that Chiram is included in the worst, the big hitters in Jewish history. These are the really bad guys throughout our history. Paro, Nebuchadnezzar, Yoash, and Chiram. How could this be that we have slipped so far, that we came from this beautiful idea of the friendship that was established way back in the times of Yehuda and carried through as a friendship for all of Shevet Yehuda, to all of the leaders? How could it be that Chiram ended up in this position of he became this person who attempt to deify himself, to make himself godlike, and it led him to be included in this list of the true villains in Jewish history? What happened to Chiram? How can this still be the same person? And to answer this, we have to look at a story in Yechezkel. There is the final mention of Hiram, obviously before we get to the Gemaras and the Midrashim that we just read. It is the last Hanach reference to Hiram Melech Tzor. And it says, Vayihi Devar Hashem Elai Lemor. Yechezkel is speaking and says, Hashem gave me this nevuah. Ben Adam Omer Lenagid Tzor. Ko Amar Adu Shem. Ya'an Gava Libcha Vatumer Elani Moshav Elokim Yashafti Belev Yamim. Va'ata Adam v'lokel v'titin limcha kelev Elokim. Yechezkel has this nevuah that Hashem is speaking to him, and he says to speak to Hiram Melech Tzor and say, because you have been so haughty and have said, I am God, I sit enthroned like a god in the heart of the seas, whereas you are not a god but a man. Though you deemed your mind equal to a god's, you are wiser than Daniel. In no hidden manner can anyone compare to you. By your shrewd understanding, you have gained riches and have amassed gold and silver in your treasures. And it continues on and says, you have done so many great, amazing things, Hiram. You have amassed so much wealth. You are quite intelligent. Assuredly, thus said the Lord God, because you have deemed your mind equal to a god, I swear I will bring against you the strangers, the most ruthless of nations. They shall unsheathe their swords against you, your pride, shrewdness, and they shall strike down your splendor. Hashem says, Hiram, know that you are not a god. You may be a very incredible human being. You may have so many strengths. But in the end of the day, you are not God. And it continues on with this very interesting imagery of this very interesting nevuah, where it is about this great palace that Hiram built, that it says was eventually hidden for the future world, for the great tzaddikim of the world will inherit this beautiful palace. But basically, Hashem elevates Yechezkel up to Hiram to bring him down back to earth. He says, Hiram, you see yourself as godly. I am here to remind you that while you are great, you are still human. So what lesson can we take from this? How can the same Hiram, who was our best friend, he supported us through thick and thin. We have this words of Rav Simcha Rabbanim playing in our heads, telling us that this is what every person should aim to emulate, this friendship of Yehuda and Hira. And what I would like to suggest, and this again was the answer that I arrived at, that I think can answer in a small way the contradiction between these sources. But of course, there can be 100 other answers. And if someone else has something that occurs to them, I would love to hear your answer. And the answer I would like to suggest is that Hira was our image of a perfect friend. He was a giver. He was a supporter. He was there for someone who was non-judgmental. He gave his alliance, his loyalty, without demanding anything in return. And this carries us through the time of David HaMelech, and this carries us through the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And through this, he was zocha to build the Mikdash, that this trait of being an amazing friend was something so admirable that we wanted it included symbolically in the building of the Mikdash. However, a feeling of being such a giver, of being someone who is such a supporter, can get to your head. That when we feel that we are so greatly emulating godly traits, that of giving, that of caring, that of supporting, it can eventually get to us. And we can, instead of thinking that we are emulating God, we can begin to think that we have replaced God. That what does anyone need God for? I am such a giver. I am such a carer. And what Hashem is coming to remind Hiram, way at the end of his days, he says, you may have outlived everybody. You may have been a friend to so many. You have done so many great things. But recognize that while you are a great friend, I am the ultimate friend. That human friends are something, like the Rebbe Rabbanim says, we all must, as it says in Pirkei Avot, k'nei lecha chaver. We must have our close human relationships. We must create not just those relationships within our families, but we must find good, close friends. We must have a yedid nefesh. However, we also must remember that a human relationship will never replace our relationship with God. that our ultimate friend, our best friend, is Hashem. It says in Mishlei, Re'acha v're'a avicha al ta'azov, u'bit achicha al tavol b'yom idecha tov shachin karov me'ach rachok. It says in Mishlei, do not desert your friend and your father's friend. Do not enter your brother's house in your time of misfortune. A close neighbor is better than a distant brother. And Rashi explains, who is Re'acha v're'a avicha? Who is this friend that is your friend and the friend of your father? And Rashi says, V're'a avicha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenekra Re'a LeYisrael, u'Re'a avicha shechiviv es avosecha. Rashi tells us that we always have a friend in God, that God is our family's friend, he is our father's friend, and he is also our best friend, and that we must always remember that we have these human relationships, we are able to give to others, we are able to care for others, we are able to truly be those Re'im to one another. But we must remember that at the end of days, when it really comes down to it, Hashem is our ultimate friend. That there are psukim throughout all of Tanakh, that Hashem is always there with us. Gam ki ilach b'geit al mavet lo yirara ki atai madi. Hashem, I will never fear because you are with me. Hashem, I always know that you are there with me. And that is the message that he said, that Hashem is teaching us through Chiram. That we are meant to establish these qualities, work on these qualities, be these Re'im. But remember that our true best friend is always found in God. May we all be zocha to find these true friendships, have the support of Yehuda and Chira, establish these human relationships, and remember that in the end of days, if we are able to apply these feelings and these connections to our relationship with Hashem, we will not only have friendships, but we will truly find a best friendship. Thank you so much for joining.